Hey, Buzzers, welcome to Spotlight On. Today's guest body of work covers the NBA, television, and some pretty amazing charities. So we're going to get into an in-depth conversation with a man you need to know. It's B.R. Lamar.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
All right, gotta get hyped, Buzzers. Like I said, today's guest is pretty amazing. If you don't leave this show feeling inspired, then I don't know. But I'm Ali Kona Bradford. Be sure to follow me at BoysandBeauty01 or yours truly, Ali Kona, on Instagram. And without further ado, hello, BR.
Gratitude. Hey.
Okay, so the first thing I have to say is a big, huge congratulations on Hit the Floor Season 4. What a, like, tense hiatus. You know what I mean? Of just not knowing whether or not it's going to get renewed or
absolutely.
Not.
Absolutely. When I figured out it was going to BET and I saw I think it was James, like, his first Instagram post, I was like, oh, my.
Thank you.
So, yeah, it was an amazing feeling. I'm like, yes, because that, I mean, it's like I said before in the last time I was here, it was like, we are really a family, and it's an amazing feeling, especially when I was new coming in, to see all the growth and see everything Logan's doing and McKinley's doing and Rob. It's like, whoa, like, and Kat, and everybody's like, it's like, yeah. Okay, yeah, we need to be back and, yeah, to get back in.
See, I'm just going to claim this right now. Fans, for any of you guys who are Hit the Floor fans, you know what I'm talking about. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but I'm going to take a little bit of credit, Pat, because did you hear about hashtag thongs for HTF4?
No, what is that?
Okay, so when James LaRosa, who is the writer and creator of Hit the Floor, was sitting actually probably in one of these very chairs, and we were just talking about how dedicated and loyal Hit the Floor fans are, and we were talking about how, like, it would be funny if somebody sent a thong to the network executive. Oh, wow. So I was like, James, let's start a movement. Okay. So we started hashtag thongs for HTF4, and we had... fans are sending hundreds of thongs to the president of the network. They wrote their little hashtag on the thongs with reasons why it should be renewed. And this poor guy, I don't know if he's married or not, but I'm sure his wife was like, excuse you. His wife like, let's just stop the thongs. Renew the show, guys. Please.
I was going to say, like, I mean, were they worn?
No, they were brand new. Oh. I made sure in the little description they must be brand new. Tag still okay. On them, ladies.
Ziploc bag, all that. Yeah. No, that's, wow, really?
Yeah, it was awesome. Like, literally hundreds. Jeez. And James said that when the president called him or texted him, was like, dude, do you know anything about this? He was like, no? What? No?
James, yeah, that just, yeah, hey. Speaking into existence.
Exactly.
Yeah, we just saw that too. So.
Which you do a lot on your social media, and I didn't get a chance. Can you please tell fans what your social media handle is so they can follow you?
Oh, it's very simple. It's just at BR Lamar. Very, very simple on Instagram, Twitter, pretty much.
And really inspiring. So fans, if you're not following him now, be sure to do it. A lot of your Instagram has tons of athletic stuff because you're just such a monster athlete. And I do want to talk about your social media in a little bit, but first, the athleticism. Let's talk about 2010, the Lakers.
Yeah.
Tell me about that story a little bit.
That story, that was just kind of the pivot, you know, moment in my life where it just changed for everything. Is, I mean, I've been playing basketball since I've been 5, and to be even considered without any agent, any help really, besides just kind of just certain people that were around, but really no help, you know what I mean, in that sense, becoming a walk-on, just really just pushing there, getting signed and being out of nowhere by Brian Shaw that year, but then it all kind of crumbling back down. I think the NBA season lockout happened, Phil Jackson and Brian Shaw, all the whole camp left. So the people who actually knew who I was with the Lakers for like 3 months or something like that, just working out training, signing the contract with the D League team. And it was an amazing feeling. I even left them with a Kobe-esque, and I'm going to say it because now I'm a Kobe Bryant's devil. So it's like I literally left them with a game-winner shot in front of Mitch Kupchak and Phil and all these guys. You know, I'm just like, okay, wow, you know, but it just wasn't enough. And then, like I said, when I asked God, what am I supposed to do with all of this that I've developed since 5 years old? That's over 20 years of basketball and wanting to be in the NBA.
Right.
But then when I found out that wasn't really my purpose to do it, in that level, it just became something different. It was like, okay, well, what is really my purpose then? You know what I mean? Because I started to look at, how did I get to that moment? How did I get to 2010 where it's like, I'm here on this floor, and I'm from LA. So, well, Long Beach, but, you know, just still LA. And it's just,
oh,
like,
look at that. We had a picture of you, actually. Sorry. I just happened to notice. Lord. I'm such a photo stalker when it comes to interviews. But this is you when you're doubling for Kobe Bryant, right?
Exactly. That's another thing where it's a full circle situation where that was my dream, and it didn't happen that way. And I got on the show with Hit the Floor with the pilot, and was just, you know, just kind of like, you know, God was like, relax, I got you. And I was an NBA player, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when I found that out, I'm like, okay, well, what am I supposed to do with that then? What is my purpose? And my purpose was, you know, what it still is to inspire, uplift, motivate, and positively change lives. Because I was doing that on the court, being a great teammate, doing all this stuff and being that. I'm like, wow, all right, well, I can do that a lot louder, I guess, in the field of showtime, in the field of that. Because when I play ball, to be very honest, like, I wanted to win, but I wanted to give people more of a show.
Right.
And I figured that out. And it's like, okay, this is why I'm in this path. But now to be even literally was in Kobe Bryant's shoes, that they took them off, size 14, I wear 12. I'm like, no, I can wear them.
I'm going to put them on.
I got
I want his toe fungus on my toes.
And to have that surreal moment where he walks on the court like that, and it's just me and him. And I've been compared to Kobe since I've been a kid with the afro, all that. If you really look at some of my photos from back then in high school, and that was my role model. And you just don't get that chance. You know what I mean? It wasn't NBA. I'm literally in his shoes, and Westbrook's shoes, and Kyrie Irving and Steph Curry. And I'm like, whoa. I'm doubling and doing all this, you know, double work for all these premier point guards in the league. And now all of these guys do see me as, I can
you're
do
at
that
the level.
For,
yeah, absolutely.
I can do that, you know what I'm saying, because of my game, too, because I made it there within that. And then, like I said, I play in the Drew League, too. So that's another situation that kind of validates that with everything. So,
but I gotta ask you, I want to take a moment, like, let's be real, you know, because I think it's so important for us to connect with all you guys who are listening, because we all have dreams, and sometimes things don't go the way we think they're supposed to. So in that moment when you found out, because I don't know if we clarified enough for our audience, but when the contract was dissolved, if you will, how did that hit you, and how were you able to turn such a heartbreaking moment into something positive? Because when you're in that moment, it's hard to see the light.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's just unwavering faith in whatever it is that you believe in. And I believe in God. And it's just like, I asked him literally, and people might freak out like, oh, no. No, I was like, yo,
what?
20 years of basketball, that's all I, you know what I mean? I know I gained all these other, you know, things that's going on, but what am I supposed to do? And it's just like, at that moment, well, it's not the NBA. I'm going to do everything I've been doing since high school, which no one knew my name. So I walked on to a junior college, you know what I'm saying? We're just at Cypress College, and I went to Golden West College. And again, being under the radar, still pushing. And family members, that was a big key for me, and seeing my family and my mother, that motivated me to be, you know what I'm saying, who I am today. So it's just like, I used all of that fuel that was just there from people saying I couldn't do it, or I wasn't this, or wasn't that. Injury, I was in a car accident right after high school, literally 19 years old, could have lost my life. It, you know what I'm saying? It's just amazing, just the story that kind of turns around. So it's unwavering faith, if I had to give it one pinpoint of when that moment of truth happens, where it's like, if you're going to do this or not. Look, if it's something you want to do and you love, and it's right there, you have to do it. You have to go with that gut feeling. You cannot listen to the naysayers and all that stuff. I mean, it's proven time and time again through anybody that may be your role model. I mean, like I said, we watched Kobe since he was 18 years old, and I've watched his professional career. And now to kind of be in that circle where now I'm consistently seeing him kind of when I'm working with him, and he's just kind of like, okay, yeah. It's like, wow, it's have faith. I wrote it down.
Yeah.
I wrote it down. And like I said, there's a life is going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, so you got to be ready by just simply saying, you know, at the end of the day, focus. I'm going to focus on this one thing or this goal, these things, is your family, raising your kids, you know, being a superstar, being this, whatever it is. And I'm just going to put all into that. Nothing's going to stop that. I mean, I got even some other Kobe quotes that I heard this. It made sense. It's like watching him, you know, he's like, I can practice. It may not be the exact quote, but he's like, I can practice. He's like, I was practicing every 2 hours a day. So it didn't matter if, and that was every day off from off season, once it happened, like a couple days, whatever, and he was right into that regimen every day. And he said, no matter what happens since I started that, none of the other players are ever going to catch up because they are stopping and they're only doing it in the summer.
Right.
He's doing it year round. So at the point when the moment of truth happens, where you have that, well, damn, it's only a couple seconds left. Who are you going to get the ball to? You've seen Kobe. Like, I mean, look how he went out.
Right.
That's through repetition, right, and unwavering faith in what you have and what your ability is. And you got to find people like that around you, too.
Right. I would say the same thing with Michael Jordan. If you really go back, like, he used to be a terrible basketball player, but he dedicated so much of his time. That's how he became so good.
Yeah, he got cut in high school. Yeah. He got cut in high school. I mean, look at that. That ends a lot of people's high school. You know, it's basketball's careers. I've seen it.
Yeah.
Easy. Just, they got cut. Done. I don't even want to play anymore. Their confidence is shot. And again, without any push, there was nobody. I'm never heavily recruited. You got to find something that you love and really just have unwavering faith in pursuing that.
So I found this picture online. Like I said, I'm a little of a social media stalker. Oh, well, there's some of those. Those are actually really cool shots from your social media, which I love. But there was one with a Team USA jersey on it. And at first I went, did he like just buy that? Or is he legit go to the Olympics in Rio? And then I realized you went to the Olympics in Rio. What? How does that happen? Walk me through that.
That was a USA American Airlines commercial. So,
oh, that's even cooler.
Yeah, so we just did that for that. And we were all looking like the athletes. So it was a principal job. And it was really cool. So
talk about, too, how you've let your athleticism, I want to say guide you, but how it's opened so many doors for you in the commercial realm. Because you went from athlete to, well, you were modeling as well, but then that took you into commercials, television.
Yeah, and to go back a little bit, but to before the television stuff, and when I had that moment of truth where it was like, what am I supposed to do? It was the modeling and everything else. So like, okay, well, you're a handsome guy. Okay, okay, people, so take some pictures and see what happens. My aunties and my mom, people were like, just try. Done it. I was already a very confident person, and once I did that, I think the first thing I ever did ever was Friends with Benefits movie, and it was like I'm sitting next to Justin Timberlake, and I'm as Mila Kunis's friend in the movie. I'm like, okay, this television thing, okay. And then right after that was Coke Zero on a national Super Bowl commercial. I was like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do with the basketball stuff. And from there, it was just Nike. I'm like, okay, I can make a living out of this and really do what I want to do, which is show the art of basketball outside of it just being in the NBA, because there are the great professionals who do things with basketball that, you know, that aren't in the NBA, and it's still connected within, what I'm saying, developing yourself as a
person. I actually have some pictures of those Nike moments. If my engineer is around and he can pop those up for me, that'd be awesome. But for anybody who is an athlete, whether you're male, female, you're a teenager, you're a young kid, or you just finished your college career or something happened, because I actually know somebody who's very, very talented but had an injury, couldn't continue to go pro, but could probably do something like this. Like, how do you even get into, like, look at you, look at, just such a stud.
And these photos you're showing, too, shout out to my man, you know, the mad genius himself, Tim Tatter. He's an awesome, you know what I'm saying, sports photographer. He's a genius. But yeah, it's meeting people like that. You know, and that guy, Tim Tatter, I met him on the second job I did. I'm sorry, the third job I did was Powerade. Mm-hmm. It was this Powerade picture that I had like back in 2011. And just doing and standing, you know, in that circle of people where they're seeing you do these things, and you show out. You show, you know what I'm saying, the essence of what you have. And those auditions, I remember going to auditions, and now I don't really go to too many auditions as far as with those commercials, because it's, you know, I've created a profession out of it now, you know, with some of my peers. But at the end of the day, just to getting to that, it's finding the pieces that God has given you, really, to manifest your puzzle. And my puzzle is very big. It's a 2,000 something or 5,000 piece puzzle, and some people don't dream that big.
Yeah.
And God puts every piece to the puzzle right in front of you.
Yeah.
And it's up to you to turn over the pieces, figure it out.
Right.
And
right.
If your pieces is only four, it's easy. Your life is easy if that works. But, you know, that's what it is. It's like I started to figure out, well, I'm an athlete. I can make everything look like I want it to look, like how I've always wanted to look if I was an NBA player.
Right.
All right. So let's do that.
Right.
Doesn't matter what sport it is, you know what I mean? Because I've done all the sports when I grew up. So it's like, all right. And then that was a Nike Vision campaign. And that was pretty awesome, because I started seeing, that's when I started seeing, too, the posters at different stores. Like, oh, okay, cool. All right, well, great job. All right, let's just continue to kick this door down that I need to kick down because I, you know, I coach kids too. So it's like we gotta, keep it moving.
So, do you ever though? We're gonna turn this around just a little bit because I know you're breaking into acting a bit too. Obviously, you've done Hit the Floor, Criminal Minds, Glee.
Yes,
a lot of different projects. You do get cast as an athlete. Do you ever feel like, okay, I want to be something just a little bit more?
Of course, and that happened a long time ago. When I go back to when I was saying like writing it down, I've written everything down that's going to transpire, and it's literally going to happen. So me transforming from just the athlete guy to something more, and you know, it's would hit the floor. You know, hopefully it becomes more of that because I get more, you know, seasoned with speaking and doing all of what I need to do on the show. And then I was in Perfect Match, which I was a Tai Chi instructor, still within the athletic range, but. You know, you don't consider those people athletes. You know what I mean? So it was something different. And that I know I can do because I've already been a character. I'm supposed to do that. Right. Like, I'm already person. But it's just, I'm patient. That's coming. That's going to come. And I just need to, like, continue to kick the door down as an athlete and transitioning that to show that, you know, other athletes that are inspired to be in the NBA, NFL, whatever it is that they want to do, there are other avenues that you can still become, you know, great, you know, and with your talents and still help people.
I want to talk a little bit about the Perfect Match because I feel like this could potentially be a lesson for all of us. So Billy Woodruff directed the Perfect Match. Billy Woodruff is amazing. If you are familiar with any music videos from like the 90s, he pioneered most of those.
Hardest working
Honey,
man.
Which is a movie, not that I know anything about that movie. But anyway, he also directed an episode of Hit the Floor.
Exactly.
So was the connection made then? And if so, how do you stay relevant in someone's mind like that so that way later on they'll think of you?
And that's the thing is the unwavering faith. And I didn't even know who Billy was, to be very honest. I didn't know who he was when he came on the show because there was a lot of different directors, from Tamara to John, all these people. And I'm just like, some of them I kind of recognized, but he was not one of them as far as that, because it just, you know, I wasn't really watching videos, music videos too much back in the day. Mm-hmm. But then when he, and it didn't matter. And I guess that's the reason why, because it was like a cut in the situation of the scene. And I just happened to be sitting down because I was, you know, getting on the show as a background. And he was just like, hey, who are you? I'm just like, B.R. Lamar. He's just like, wow, I like that name. He's just like, so are you one of the players or one of the, you know what I'm saying, you have lines on the show? And like, already thinking that I was supposed, I'm like, no, I'm, you know, looking. He's like, why, you know, oh, really? And I started telling him about what I was going, you know, and he just sat there and was a real guy, just talked and was like, yo, man, you know, just gave me insight just about how, what, who he was. And I Googled him afterwards. I was like,
whoa,
what?
You're like, I feel stupid. Yeah, like,
but that's exactly how it needed to happen, because I was so much into just regular, it was nothing like
trying too hard.
Yeah, like,
okay,
well, yeah, I gotta impress. No, it was just that, you know, those are the people I just happen to be around now, you know what I mean? So.
But yeah. I gotta say this too, and I wanna say this to our After Buzzers as well. Like, I've met you a couple of times just through Hit the Floor. Mm-hmm. You have an amazing energy. You really do. You're through whatever diversity you face in your life, you carry yourself with a lot of poise, confidence, and you can tell that you have really, really excellent energy. And I think that is so important in life in general. Whether you're an entertainer at home or you're just at a job you really, really like, or friends or finding the one, I think it's so important to carry yourself with a certain level of openness and happiness and willingness to receive, because that's when stuff just starts, like, the right people just literally get drawn into your energy. It's so important.
Exactly, that unwavering faith. And I was just like, let me just let it happen, these people around, okay, just, you know, be you. I'm a very persistent person. I'm a very organized person. It's like, okay, keep doing it. If it doesn't work, hey, but that's what I learned through all that basketball, going through coaches and not being able to play, sitting on the bench, or people not believing you, all of that. I developed that thick skin over, so all they can tell me is no.
Right.
I went through, I signed with the, like, it doesn't, okay, but still be who you are and giving it energy, because, you know, where I've come from, it still is a hardship. It's like one single parent home, and, you know, so it's like, oh, my mom has three kids, and it's like, okay, I have to really help my family and project them further as far as, you know what I'm saying, within our legacy, our name. That's just what I wanted to do when I was a kid.
Right.
I've watched all these, you know, hero movies from Dark Knight and all that. Like, I don't even really listen to rap, you know, too often, but, you know, certain guys I do, but now I listen to nothing but, you know, scores, like, you know, Hans Zimmer and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so it's more of me manifesting the dream of what I really want to become, and reading. Reading has really just, you know, I was not a big reader back in school, but once I became an actor, it was like, wow, this is really, you know, and it opens up your mind. So
I think it cultivates your creativity, your imagination when you read a lot.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I started being more aware. And then once I started being aware of who was around me, oh, well, I know what I need to do now to make these actions. And that's where it became. And
I think proactivity is very important. And you're obviously a very proactive person. So that leads me to what I want to talk about also is you have a documentary. You have two movies coming out in 2018. Yeah. So let's start with the documentary. What inspired you to share your story? And what do you want people to take away from that?
The story is being ready, and it's my life. I mean, like I said, I can go on and on and on, all kind of details, and then it'd be, wow, it's just, but honestly, it's just that persistence in knowing what you want and still going for it. Life is going to happen. There's nothing you can do about that besides simply adjust and overcome. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck and being where you are. And that's what the movie and the film is about, like being ready. And it's not necessarily like you're not always going to be ready, but the mindset is people say that all the time. And I'm like, well, what is it? What is it that I always done great? It was like, well, I was just ready. When the person was there, I was just like, I was ready. The person, and it was just like, okay. And when I was doing, you know, I was playing basketball, I wasn't ready. I wasn't always ready. I was trying to be something and be something I wasn't, and I wasn't ready. I was comfortable with who I am now. So, once you become that, and knowing your purpose, it's, you know, it's being ready. So that's really what the documentary is about, and then the two movies. Are just simply sports movies.
What are they called?
I can tell you one of them. One of them is still in the... You know, it was kind of what I was saying before, but actually that's changed a little bit. If you guys are the viewers who remember the last show, you kind of have to Google that to find out. But the name has changed from that, but the concept is still the same for the basketball film that I have coming out that I'm going to be starring in as well. But the football film, it's called The Eligible Receiver. So a producer friend of mine by the name of Michael Kahn, him and some of his partners wrote it. It's awesome football film, a comedy kind of thing, but an inspirational film, again, right along the lines of who I'm supposed to be, no matter who and what I am, and, you know, money, whatever, who, doesn't matter. So, which is to inspire, uplift, motivate, and positively change life, even in films. So, and doing that in sports, that's my lane. That's the lane that it's like, okay, cool, I can do that. And then the basketball movie, it's the same thing. It's a little bit more tailored to my story as far as, you know, going to college and, you know what I'm saying, and being a walk-on pretty much. But it's something that hasn't been told. It's going to inspire millions because the story itself is something that inspires people in general, just like when you say my pictures and the athletic shots. But then I always put the message under there for people to read. If you're really going to read, you're going to read the message. And the message doesn't just relate to the sport. Mm-hmm. It relates more to, like, you know, even what I'm doing in the sport. I might say, like, okay, fly to something, but give it more of something to somebody who's not playing basketball.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's the whole key, again, of the documentary, be ready. And then all my movies, that's going to come out. So.
Right. Yeah. Well, speaking of ready, I also do want to give a shout out to your social media. I know we have a few pictures that I plucked out. If we can get those popped up in a second, there's a reason that I actually chose some of these pictures. So we've got some of the, again, athletic pictures, which are super, super cool. Obviously, part of some campaigns you've done. I have another picture of you on the red carpet for something. You've gotten to attend some pretty cool events just to be. But the point of me saying all of this is someone can easily get onto your Instagram, look at these photos, and either go, oh, that's so easy, that's so attainable. But I think people forget that it is a snapshot of somebody's life. That is three seconds of BR's life. You didn't get to see all the trials and tribulations, how much you had to cultivate your craft just to have the honor to walk on that red carpet or to play that sport or to be on that set. Yeah. So, can you tell me and our fans a little bit about why it's so important, going back to being ready and really willing to take the time and not try to rush to the finish line?
Absolutely. And that's another thing is patience that I had to learn. And once you figure out certain things, you have to learn and adjust to from your life. And it was patience. And I'm like, okay, cool. I want to do all this stuff. I want to be here and be this moment and be relevant and do this as far as so I can get my message across. But don't rush it. Just like everything else, don't rush it. Continue to do the steps that you can do and you can control. Everything else, let it be, you know what I mean? But trying to rush it and get there, like, I've already envisioned myself winning an Oscar.
Me too, high five!
So, you know what I mean? It's already there. I'm there. I've seen the people. So it's like, okay, well, that's not going to happen in the first two movies, whatever it is. But yeah, it might. But
right.
Believe in it. Believe in it that it can happen whenever the moment is supposed to happen, and you'll be ready for it. It's just that simple. But like I said, the red carpets and all that stuff, it just, that became a part of it. It's like, oh, well, I got to get my message out there a little bit more, and people got to see that there is success. I'm sorry. there is success with, you know, someone who's not going to the NBA, and the story happening like that where it just completely shifts, which are thousands and thousands of athletes from any sport. Right. Like, it just...
But not even athletes, just in life. In you know, life, people come out here for a reason. I came out here to dance. Yes, I was a dancer. And I somehow got into hosting, which led me into acting, which all these puzzle pieces. And when you're younger and you have a dream, you think it's just that. So accepting the fact that maybe that dream was actually just a stepping stone to guide you to the real purpose.
Yeah, exactly. And that's 100% true. 100% true, because that's exactly how I feel about me. It's like, well, I play basketball and learned all those skills to be all of these guys' double, do all I want to do, and then opening up another lane for people in that sense of understanding. But like you said, with everybody, though, because for me, it's like I said, it's more about family and community and stuff that brings along with that. It's just like, if you're the person who just opens the door, so be it. But look at all those around those people, those other great people who are doing other great things. And, you know, it's just like, at the end of the day, you know, you want to continue to strive and continue to, you know, go for your dreams. And you cannot waver. It's unwavering faith. Again, it's just that unwavering faith.
And how did you have unwavering faith when you were going through all the hardships with your family? Because you mentioned family being so important, and your family's just been through so much.
Yeah, I mean, just recently, my sister passed away in early December. And my grandfather just passed in April. My girlfriend's mother passed like a year before that. My mom was diagnosed with cancer like 2 years before that. So the last 4 years have really been kind of, even going through the show, it's just really been, I even had an asthma attack for the first time as an adult at that time with all that stress going on. So it was like, for the first time in my life, all that stress was going on, but I still had that same vision. I still kept it going. I still wanted to, you know, to go forward. And, you know, life is going to happen. Loss is going to happen, you know, and it's something you can't control. I spoke at my sister's funeral. I spoke at my grandfather's funeral in front of hundreds of people. And I'm like, did not know what to say. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing you know, I mean, my sister was 37 years old. She passed away of lung cancer and breast cancer. And she was the most lively spirit I've ever met in my life. And to see that, you know what I'm saying, her go from that to
what
happened. Yeah, you know, I mean, and really watch the process. A few years earlier, seeing my mom go through the steps, and, you know, she beat it. That's, you know, which is another blessing. And to see my girlfriend's mom pass away from it, and just like all this stuff's like, okay, I have to do something with cancer and do something with that. But at the same time, you know, I can't dwell and be so bogged down with that. So let me honor them by doing exactly what they always told me to do. You know what I'm saying? And that really got me over the hump in having the faith, because they were always somebody of a fan of what I was doing. I mean, it wasn't conventional. It wasn't just getting a job. It wasn't just right within my family. So I'm the pioneer of that. And, you know, my grandfather and my sister, they were that. You know what I'm saying? They were that. They were themselves and always themselves. So, yeah, you just got to push through it. You got to find, you know, bring that, you know, the positive moments that they bring to you to really overcome something like that, especially when it's right after each other like that, for sure.
Right. That can make or break a person.
Big time.
And you've chosen to get involved with a lot of charity, and your mother as well, Hope Foundation. I want you to talk a little bit about some of the charities your family has been involved with.
My mom is Hope Foundation. My mom and my grandmother have been foster parents since I've been like 10 years old.
Which is so cool.
So again, going back to my, it's like, well, I was being a bigger brother. I was doing this thing early and being the man of a house, which no man, you know what I mean, was there. So I was like, okay. But yeah, my mom started that back, like I said, when I was 10 years old. And it just progressed from there. And now she's getting more involved because clearly she beat cancer. Now with the cancer support group of in Redondo Beach, which Kyle and Diane Kazan, when he's the president, and she's his wife, and she's also a part of the whole entire movement there. But they've been there for years before we even got there. So my mom went through that program, and we went through that program as a family. And it was like, wow, this is something we really want to be attached to, too, because we've already been coaching kids since 2008 with my brother's program, which is Next Selection Athletics, right in the Whittier area, the Lakewood area, the Bellflower area. And for years, we've been helping kids and develop, you know what I'm saying, really just because we love to do it. You know what I mean? There's no money being to us, you know, given to us, nothing. There's no light to it at all, you know. Mm-hmm. And almost all of our kids that we've been coaching for 7 years with Next Selection Athletics, they all, one is in at UCLA, two or more are going to college, you know, at D2 colleges, and they're all graduating. One comes back and he's now coaching the football part of where the basketball and the other training stuff, so, and helping my brother in that sense and everything, so, because he's the coach at Pioneer High School. And again, we've always been a community family. Mm-hmm. So my mom and me and my brother, we just decided, like, okay, well, all that we're doing individually, put it in one and put it in, you know, in one situation where we're going. And like mine's is Be Ready Big Brother Foundation. So all those kids that are graduating already that we've already coached up and, you know, helping and moving along, and anybody else who is a big brother in a sense of giving mentorship and knowledge and helping our youth, no matter what you're doing, to progress. Because let's face it, kids see stars and people on TV and they want to be like that immediately. That's the, you know what I'm saying, sometimes they see their parents. If you have a great parent, they, you know, you see it too. But a lot of times they're looking at who's on the next LeBron or whatever it is, or whoever, you know. At the end of the day, there's people in the community who do that and are heroes right here, and they can show you how to do it, even if they're a doctor, even if they work at the dentist, right, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Whatever, even if they work at 99 cent store, I don't care where you work, if you have some type of knowledge or some type of mentorship or some type of giving to others for nothing. There's nothing.
It can just be your attitude and the way you see life.
Exactly. It's perspective, you know, and that's, you know, that's what myself and my brother and my mother's, you know, foundations are geared towards. It's just simply just giving by just like our perspective. It's just give. Like, why not? Like, why not help the next person? If, you know what I'm saying? If you're in, you're able to, no matter what it is or how much you have. And my mom taught me that as a young kid. So it doesn't stop no matter what I'm doing, you know. So that's why I said, like, all my posts are these BR quotes, because there's a message behind everything, you know what I mean? And that's the message I want to get across, is, you know, it's this community and building up our communities.
Really quick, is there an application process? Like, let's just say there's somebody watching and they're in the Southern California area. Can they go to a website or do they apply?
Well, my website is still on under construction. My brother is at nextselection.com. My mother, she's getting internet savvy. So yeah, she's getting hers is under construction as well. But the cancer support group, I believe that one's on, has a website. And that again, that's the cancer support group of Redondo Beach. You can Google that, just exactly how I'm saying it. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it's org or gov. I can't remember.
All good.
But yeah, those are the ones you can definitely go to immediately.
Okay, and then I want to bring up the quotes again, too, because you have hashtag BR quotes, which are a lot of your social media. I have one with me. I picked one, and I want you to be able to give me one of your favorites so you can think about it while I'm reading. And also, too, fans, if you get a chance, tweet us your quotes. It's always cool to hear other people's inspiring quotes, to inspire each other. The one I like from you, though, is soar high in the pursuit of your dreams and believe. Be ready and become what you dream big about and live greater for.
That's one. I believe that's for that picture right there.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's like the soar high. See, so I'm utilizing my, you know, art of basketball and what I feel when I'm doing that to motivate, you know what I'm saying, the person who's not an athlete. And again, you soar high. I mean, if you're dreaming about having this great car or having this great house or this great family, it can be obtainable. The thing is, people lose the sight of that. So soar, I mean, because they dream small. They don't soar high. They just simply say, whoa, I can kind of, no, soar high. That's what you're dreaming about. You want to live greater.
Right.
In that sense. So you have to go ahead and soar high. If you don't soar high, you're already giving yourself the disservice.
I think that life, and whether, again, if you're an entertainer, if you're not, that's okay. Yeah. But definitely in this industry, it's always a marathon. And it's who can last the longest. It's not who can get there faster. Mm-hmm. And I think that could be possible for a doctor, a lawyer, an astronaut, whatever it is that you want to be in your life. I think it's having that ability to just withstand whatever gets thrown your way and have that true, honest belief in yourself.
Yes, absolutely. I couldn't even say that better right there. That's no question. Like, for sure, you really have to have the unwavering faith again in yourself. No matter what you're doing, and believing that again that is possible through all of that stuff that's going on, because I mean, you can't control any. You can't control stuff you just can't control. But you can control your energy. You can control how you treat people. I mean, yeah, I've only met you a couple times, and here I am on the show talking about my stuff now. And it was like, I was just talking about being background on Hit the Floor. And it's just like, yeah, it's about the energy. It's about what you give. And at the end of the day, if you're sharing that in everything you're doing, you're going to get that back. If you do not share that and you're sharing the opposite of that, you're going to get that back, because that's what you're attracting, no matter what. And I mean, there's a lot of dark forces are going to come, and you just have to continue to want to attract the light and great things that are happening to you no matter what.
Yeah. So I'm going to leave this with my favorite quote. You can come up with yours if you want. But mine, and it's an unknown author, but it's simple, short, and sweet. And hope is the invisible force that makes all things possible.
I love that. Who said that?
It's unknown. I looked it up. It's unknown. And the other one is Faith, Trust, and Pixie Dust, but that's Peter Pan. But yeah.
I love that. As far as my quote, you know what? I don't know if I have a favorite one. Again, because when I write those, it's gone. It's like, and I get people who say now, like, that's awesome. And just, you know what? I love your page. Just random now. So it's like, that's what I want. Those one, two people saying that. This inspired me today. This is what that did. As far as anybody else's quote, there's a Bruce Lee quote. I just can't remember it. But yeah, there's a Bruce Lee quote. Like, I love Bruce Lee quotes. I just can't quote one right now. But
I put you on the spot.
Yeah, that's cool. But no, that's fine.
Spotlight
but,
on. Hey, oh.
That's cool. I'm ready. I need it. No. But yeah, it's definitely a Bruce Lee quote, but I just can't remember because he has so many great ones. But yeah,
all good. Well, BR, you've been such a pleasure to talk with, so thank you for coming by. And for you guys at home that are listening, that are watching, thank you for joining us. As I said in the beginning of the show, you will leave inspired, so I hope you have. Yes. But I'm gonna turn to the front so we can look at everybody and wave and say thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take a moment, BR, look in your camera and tell everybody again where they can find you. Your camera's right there.
Right there. My camera's right there. It's very simple. Simply Dynamic, all right? It's just at BR Lamar. And be ready, ladies and gentlemen. Just always be ready.
All right. Thank you again, guys. I'm Ali Conan Bradford. You can find me at BoysAndBeauty01 on Twitter, or find me on Instagram. I've actually been pretty active on there. It's yours truly, Ali Kona, with little underscores in between each word. Until next time, see you later.
Yes.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.